Whoa, take her easy there, Pilgrim. You're a persistent cuss, Pilgrim. Well, take some advice, Pilgrim.
I kind of figured you'd like to settle this in a gentlemanlike manner.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome back to Weekend Update. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome back to the program. Happy Saturday. Before we get into any of this mischief that the Wyoming left has created for themselves after the legislative session, let me just say that I've missed you guys. I don't really take time off all that often, and even when I do, it's not like I've completely given up on work. I still watched every dumb move that the Wyoming caucus made after the session. Of course, they don't realize that it's a dumb move yet. Note that I said yet. I step away for a week, and they just absolutely lose their collective minds. And it's not just them. It's their bought and paid for acolytes in the Wyoming media. And now, you don't have to take my word for it. They've admitted it. To the cow pie! From an editor's note attached to a letter to the editor, and I quote, the Cowboy State Daily's top-tier paid advertising package is titled, quote, Presenting Partnership, of which all advertisers, including political organizations, can purchase, end quote. But see, that all depends on what your definition of a political organization is. Take, for example, the Liz Cheney-funded and loving organization Americans for Prosperity, the authors of the recent Cyrus Western letter that ended up filling up the trash cans at the Dayton and Ranchester post office. Yeah, okay, filling up is a bit of an exaggeration, but there were a lot of Cyrus's flyers in the trash can. I have pictures. You're welcome, Cyrus. Anyway, Americans for Prosperity is a political organization. Not a very smart one, I would add. The flyer is thanking Cyrus for House Bill 170, which never made it out of the speaker's drawer. I'm not exactly sure what we're supposed to be thanking Cyrus Western for, a question that the citizens of House District 51 have been asking themselves ever since they stupidly elected Cyrus Western. They thought they were getting somebody to represent their interests, when in reality, all they got was an empty chair. So Americans for Prosperity is a political organization, and they also happen to be one of the, quote, presenting partners of the Cowboy State Daily. What differentiates them from the Wyoming caucus is the latter is funded and operated by the politicians themselves. Totally backwards from how a political action committee normally operates. But a large number of the donors to the Wyoming caucus are the politicians themselves. And the two guys that are out in front of the dumb Wyoming caucus all of the time is Barry Crago and Drag Show Clark Stith. The reason why I call him Drag Show Clark is I caught him donating to an outfit called Drag for a Cause in Rock Springs. They put on drag shows where grown men prance around in women's lingerie. Oh yeah, and they invite children to these events. Not exactly the wholesome organization you would think that an elected representative would be donating money to. Nonetheless, he donated money to it, and they admitted it. And old Clark is one of the guys in charge of the Wyoming caucus who paid for what must have been a very large advertising package. After all, if you're going to sell your professional ethics down the river, you may as well make a lot of money on it. No doubt, they did. It's not like they haven't been shills for the Wyoming caucus all along. all you have to do is ask yourself a very simple question. When is the last time you saw any article on the cow pie being critical of any of the redcoats? That answer is, I've never seen one. And it's not like they haven't had a whole bunch of opportunities. Just think about how many stories I've brought you about some of the really dumb stuff that members of the Wyoming caucus do. And I pay pretty close attention to all the drivel that comes out of that site. And what about the word partner? That's a little bit different than advertiser. A partner is someone who is engaged in a mutually beneficial financial relationship. It usually tends to mean that you're in it together, that you're engaged in the same enterprise, which is why every time I pull up one of their dumb articles that's critical of the conservatives in the House of Representatives and the Senate, I see a big, gigantic ad for the Wyoming caucus. That's not a coincidence, my friends. And actually, in Wyoming politics, there are no coincidences. So yeah, they're in it together, and I'd love to see them try to prove me wrong. And let's just be absolutely clear about who the Wyoming caucus is. In a completely random and totally unintended act of journalistic honesty, in an article entitled Wyoming's Republican Factions Face Off for Battleground GOP Primary, an article which, by the way, has a big gigantic ad for the Wyoming caucus on the top of it, there's a screenshot at the website, it says, and I quote, listen carefully here. That makes this election season an important one for Wyoming Republicans and the Freedom Caucus, which could realistically secure a majority in the House by picking up six seats, including the five House Democrats who usually vote in line with the Wyoming Caucus. The Freedom Caucus is at a 36-26 disadvantage. Whoa! Hold the phone! I thought Poisonberry Crago and Drag Show Clark Stith and all their pals were the most conservative of conservative Republicans. Like I've been telling you for 4 years, they're redcoats. Unintended or not, the cowpie just admitted it. Another interesting paragraph in Trotsky's missive is the following, and I quote, Crago said, Wyoming has developed a, quote, move-in politician problem, end quote. I kind of agree, but not for the reasons that Barry Crago thinks. Continuing, about a third of the Freedom Caucus are not Wyoming natives, and two new candidates who recently announced they are running for the House in Johnson and Sheridan counties moved into the state within the last 5 years. End quote. First, Trotsky's last comment there isn't true, and I'll tell you about that here in a minute. Right now, I have just one thing to say to Representative Barry Crago.
You can keep your Piedmont, Edgemont, Martin, Madison, Presho, Roscoe, stick it in your pie hole. Harrisburg, Gettysburg, Spearfish, Sturgis, Hill City, Rapid City, what a pity. Buffalo, Belfouche, talking beep. Think it's funny, can't get far without Campbell County money.
Barry Crago isn't from Wyoming either. Barry Crago was born in Belfouche, South Dakota. Last time I checked, not Wyoming. Well, Clark Stith wasn't born here either. He was born in Kansas. Back to the cowpie for a minute. Barry claims that about a third of the Freedom Caucus moved here. First, and Trotsky, I really wish you'd get this through your skull. There are not 26 members of the Freedom Caucus. There are, however, on a good day, 26 conservative members of the Wyoming House of Representatives, but only a percentage of those are actual members of the Freedom Caucus. But let's just go with it for a minute for the sake of numbers. So there's 26 conservatives, and Barry says a third of them have moved from somewhere else, just like him. So that would be 8. I don't really care, and I think it's a specious argument anyway, but it would be interesting to find out exactly how many of the Wyoming caucus are not from Wyoming, just like Barry and Clark. And that brings up another question. How could you be part of a group called the Wyoming caucus if you're not from Wyoming? Interesting, I know. Anyhow, it brings up a good question. Most people in Wyoming would disagree with Colorado-style politics. We definitely wouldn't want to have any of the craziness from Delaware. After all, that's where Joe Biden lives. Or Ohio, or probably even Louisiana. And we really shouldn't have anything from South Dakota, should we, Barry? So since it's so offensive that, quote, about a third of the Freedom Caucus is not from Wyoming, I thought it might be interesting to look at the Wyoming caucus. As it turns out, 38% of the Wyoming caucus is not from Wyoming. As we all know from Barry Crago, that is a prerequisite for running for office in Wyoming. If you're not a Wyoming native, we just shouldn't listen to you. As it turns out, 12 of the members of the Wyoming caucus are not from Wyoming. For example, Landon Brown. By the way, it's been 1,151 days since Landon Brown agreed to an interview on cowboy state politics and then didn't show up. Anyway, good old Landon was born in Colorado. Ken Clouston, North Dakota. John Conrad, Ohio. Of course, Barry Crago, South Dakota. Seen any rabbits lately, Barry? Now, Lloyd Larson, he's from Utah. Martha Lawley's from Louisiana. Sandbags Newsom is also from Colorado. Tony Nemec is from Ohio. Kevin O'Hearn is from Delaware. Jerry Obermueller is from Texas. Clark Stith is from Kansas. And David Zwanitzer wasn't born here either. The mere thought that the only legitimate ideas are the ones that originate right here in the state of Wyoming, and if you're not from here, you just shouldn't even speak, is absolutely the dumbest thing that I've ever heard. It's backward, and I think it's pretty ignorant, too. Just because your family has lived in Wyoming for five generations, that doesn't tell me a single thing about you. What it does tell me is that your parents and your grandparents had pretty good taste, but it doesn't tell me anything about you. For example, Joe Barbuto's family, Joe Barbuto is the chair of the Democrat Party in Wyoming, his family's been here for generations. That doesn't mean that his ideas are right, and it certainly doesn't mean that we should follow any of them. But it's just like all of the arguments that the rest of Barry Crago and the Wyoming caucus come up with. They're completely devoid of any depth whatsoever. And in their thinking that that is a persuasive argument for you, they're really treating you like you're pretty stupid. Just one good example here. There's a reason why Colorado went from a reliably Republican state to a reliably Democrat state. It might be important to listen to people who actually lived through that so that we could figure out how to not do the same things that Colorado did. But there again, if you're a liberal redcoat like Barry Crago, Clark Stith, and the rest of them, then that might be just exactly what you want. And I might add that the absolute lack of intellectual curiosity on behalf of the cowpie is astounding. Or it could be that it's not a lack of curiosity, that it's intentional. They are, after all, paid for at least in part by the Wyoming caucus. One last comment on this subject comes to us from our pal Rod Miller. And I quote, "That should be Wyoming's response to those who come here because the cowboy state is the last best place. Instead of handing them the reins to power here, we should tell them to go back home and change things in their own backyard. Enough's enough." End quote. Yeah, I agree. Go back home to South Dakota, Colorado, North Dakota, Ohio, Utah, Louisiana, Delaware, Texas, and Dave Zwanitzer and Clark Stith. You can pack your bags and go back to Kansas. We in Wyoming don't need any of your liberal redcoat ideas anymore. As far as it goes for the conservatives, we'll keep all of you guys. We realize that conservative ideas are not anywhere near as destructive as those that come from the Wyoming caucus and the liberal left in Wyoming. Just like the Wyoming caucus. There was another string of articles in the Cowpie while I was on vacation, all of them related to the budget. The first one said that this year's budget was going to be $10.6 billion, just a hair lower than what the governor had requested. In an article entitled "Wyoming Legislature Ends Contentious Session by Passing $10.6 Billion Budget," Trotsky writes, and I quote, "The Wyoming legislature passed its $10.6 billion budget Friday, sending it to Governor Mark Gordon's desk on the final day of the 2024 legislative session." End quote. The only thing is, it wasn't $10.6 billion. It wasn't anywhere close to that. Here's how we know that. Double L Lloyd Larson on the floor of the House of Representatives Friday morning. Here's what he said.
In the last biennium, that was $10.3 billion. Okay, overall, this year is $11.5 billion, so $1.2 billion more.
Huh. How did Trotsky make almost $1 billion mistake? Rumor has it that old Trotsky was listening to Slithers too much. Slithers is the name that I give Senator Tara Nethercott. It's a really long story. Someday I'll get into it. But that wasn't the first mistake that the cowpie made. The $10.6 billion article was published on March 8th. On the 14th of March, Trotsky writes, and I quote, "As far as the $10.6 billion number offered by Nethercott, Richard said one could also theoretically exclude $416 million in enterprise funds, which largely pertains to the state purchase of liquor subsequently distributed to state liquor stores, bars, and restaurants, which is then returned." And a side note, correct me if I'm wrong, but that still equates to spending. Stith said he agrees with the $11.03 billion figure. Quote, "Don Richards is amazing. He's never wrong," Stith said. "He's nonpartisan. He's so even-handed." End quote. The reason I call this one a mistake is there's no editor's note, there's no retraction, there's nothing about the original article that was published by the Cowpie that claimed that the entire state budget was only $10.6 billion. If I made a $900 million mistake on this program, I would most definitely lead with it, as I do with all mistakes on this program, which is what sets Cowboy State Politics apart from other media sources that are bought and paid for by the Wyoming Caucus. By the way, this article, too, has a big banner of the Wyoming Caucus dead center of the middle of it. That's not a coincidence either. A memorandum from the Legislative Service Office clearly shows that the total amount of money that was spent in the 67th legislature's budget session, that's this past one, is expected to be around $11.5 billion. I've posted that at cowboystatepolitics.com so that you can read it for yourself. Personally, I wouldn't pay any attention to what Clark Stith says, $11.039 billion or otherwise. You really shouldn't trust liberal redcoats who weren't even born in Wyoming. As Barry Crago would put it, that would contribute to the move-in politician problem. Yet another controversy that was ignited by the cow pie comes from an article entitled "Former Colorado Political Operative Running for Wyoming Legislature," written on March 12th. Falsely claims that Lori Bratton, who is running for House District 51 against Cyrus Western, only moved to Wyoming in 2019. Trotsky also falsely claims that Lori Bratton refused, or as his article now says, wouldn't talk to him about this article. The truth is that Lori Bratton did say she would talk to Leo Wolfson, just not on his timeline. In fact, the word she used in multiple emails to Leo Wolfson was "at the end of the week." The thing is that Trotsky never gave her a deadline. He never said that he was writing an article that specific day that he talked to Lori Bratton. There wasn't any dates mentioned. You can read the email exchange in its entirety at cowboystatepolitics.com. When you do that, you'll see that there was no date mentioned by Trotsky and that Lori Bratton didn't refuse to talk to him. I spoke to her on Thursday about this article and about her candidacy for House District 51. I'll bring you our discussion after a completely outrageous profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn, or maybe you need something bigger, like a roping arena or a giant warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. You'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. One cool thing that they do is they pour concrete pillars and then insert a steel beam inside them and then pour the foundation on top. That way, there's no possibility of water getting underneath your building and ruining the foundation. To get more information, give Nick and Jesse a call at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at MortonBuildings.com. It's kind of springy in Wyoming, but as we all know, with April comes snow. You need to be prepared for both types of weather, and the best thing that you can do is get you a pair of socks from the Buffalo Wool Company. A lot of people think that you shouldn't wear wool in the summer because your feet will get all hot and sweaty. Not with socks from the Buffalo Wool Company. They'll keep you cool and dry, even on the hottest of days. And my friends, I've tested this out. I've worn a pair of Buffalo Wool Company socks in my cowboy boots, and I didn't get hot at all. So to get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you're not going to be disappointed. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate.
I'm Reed Raisner, and I'm running for United States Senate because our politicians have forgotten what's important. They spend billions protecting borders in Europe and do nothing about our border. You deserve better. Wyoming deserves better. That's why I'm running, to serve you. Join me, and let's send new blood and a strong backbone to D.C. before it's too late. Go to ReedRaisner.com to learn more and join the fight.
And now, back to the program. Thursday, I sat down with candidate for House District 51, Lori Bratton. There's been a couple of different articles that were written about Lori, some of which contained some inaccuracies. So I wanted to sit down with her and clear them all up. Here's what she had to say. Joining me on the program is House District 51 candidate Lori Bratton. Lori, first time on the program.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
So what possessed you to run for House District 51?
I'm running for House District 51 because people are tired of the divisiveness, the reckless spending, and the disdain that our current representative has for the Republican Party platform.
How long have you lived here in Sheridan or in Sheridan County?
We moved to Sheridan in 2017.
So let's see here, roughly 7 years, something like that?
Yes.
What is it that you do for a living?
I raise certified weed-free hay and also no-spray hay out in Becton.
So tell me about your family. I mean, I've met your husband, Rich. Do you have any kids? Tell me about you.
So I have two children, and I have three grandchildren that are fortunate enough to be born right here in Wyoming. I graduated with a BA in biology and comprehensive science education. And after 7 years of teaching public high school, I worked in pharmaceutical sales and was fortunate enough after the birth of our daughter to be able to choose to focus on raising a family.
Cool. Now, you and your husband moved here from Colorado, right?
Yes, we did.
So what did you do there?
In Colorado, I actually became active in politics in 2008. I worked for conservative state legislators in Colorado, and then we started there, but then also in Wyoming. I was the district director for the second largest agricultural district in the country. That was Colorado Congressman Ken Buck during his freshman term, so the first 2 years. And he was the he was 100% on Heritage Foundation and on CPAC his freshman year. But then after that, I resigned from that position, and my husband and I moved to Wyoming.
Okay. Now, I've also heard that you ran or helped run a political group called Principles of Liberty. Why don't you tell me about that?
So the Principles of Liberty was a group that we started, and we rated bills. We actually read all the bills in the Colorado legislature and then started to also look at the bills in the Wyoming legislature based on free people, free markets, and limited government.
Okay. Now, how long did you do that?
Gosh, we started that...
I mean, it was a long time, right?
It was a long time. I'd have to go back and look. Maybe 2011-ish. Might have been 2010. And so that's when we started with that. And the last year that we did the Principles of Liberty, we were already living in Wyoming, was in 2018.
Would you say it's similar to some of the other rating sites that are here in Wyoming, Evidence-Based Wyoming, WyoVote? Would you say it's similar to those, or were there some differences?
I would say fairly similar. I'd have to look at each one of those rating agencies, but it was, we would read a bill and then say if it either supported or opposed our positions on limited government, personal responsibility, property rights, all the typical things that you find on the Republican platform. And then we would say whether it opposed or supported that position. At the end of the legislative session, then we would just give a percentage score to each legislator, what percentage of the time they agreed with our position.
Why do you think that's important? I mean, a lot of legislators here in Wyoming, they seem very resistant to any of these ratings agencies. And the one that comes out during the legislature is Evidence-Based Wyoming. And the only thing that does is says how often you vote with the Republicans or with the Democrats. Why running one of those organizations? Why is that important? Tell me what the goal of that is.
I think it's important to see how legislators actually vote. You can say anything, but what matters is transparency, and people can see actually how you vote, and then the people can decide if they agree or disagree with that position. I think I appreciate legislators who are open to that transparency.
Now, I also happen to have my pal, Representative Ken Pendergraft, with us on the program. Hi, Ken.
I'm the producer today. I'm kind of sitting back a little bit.
So, Ken, in your opinion, why are some legislators so resistant to any of these ratings websites?
I'd love to see you ask Dan Zwanitzer that question.
Oh, that would be weaponizing the process.
Yes. Weaponizing the process. We had a series of amendments that he brought, and of course, we just called for the ayes and nays on like five or six consecutively. And he got a little bit butthurt about people actually knowing the truth. I would advocate that we have a panel at the front of the house, and you flip a little switch and your vote's up there for everybody to see every time.
Did you know that just about every single room in that Capitol is already wired for that?
I did. And I also know that they're talking about trying to improve the acoustics within, because nobody can hear the chairman of the Appropriations Committee because he's rude. And it seems to me that if you put that panel up there, you could make acoustic properties out of that, kind of kill two in one. I will tell you, though, that Representative Harshman, when I mentioned that to him, got a little bit bothered.
Well, he's the main opponent to any of that sort of transparency. When that bill comes up, and should you be successful in your run, Lori, you'll get to see this. But he's the guy that starts saying, oh, look at this beautiful ceiling. Look at this beautiful chamber. Why would we want to hang a screen in here? That's his whole argument.
It is a beautiful ceiling. It's a beautiful chamber. But there's a nice spot for a screen right up there out of the way. I think it'd be fine.
So, Lori, there's been a very interesting article in the Cowpie recently. And the way I read it, it had kind of some dubious claims in it, the first of which was that you refused to do an interview with him. I mean, I don't blame you if you did, but is that actually what happened?
David, that is not what happened. On Monday, March 11th, I replied to Mr. Wolfson's request for an interview. This is how I replied. This is my email. Thank you for your inquiry regarding my candidacy for Wyoming House District 51. I've attached a press release for your review. I have a few interviews being scheduled for this week, and I would be happy to add you to the calendar. I look forward to following up with you later this week. Then when he emailed me on Tuesday morning, I literally was heading out the door for a full day, but I stopped and I emailed him back again saying, can't today, headed out the door, looking forward to visiting with you later this week. I did see that he said that in the article that I would not talk to him, but I clearly twice in writing told him I would be happy to speak with him later this week.
Now, why did you brush him off?
Well, I was running to a couple of campaign events on Tuesday, so I was very busy, but actually I did have a couple of other interviews scheduled, and I had promised to give your show one of the first interviews, and then I wanted to follow up with another one of our local reporters before I did something with Cowboy State Daily, which isn't local. I wanted to help support our local media.
Can I chime in on that?
Sure, Ken, go for it.
I get hit up for interviews often, and generally I don't know how they do it, but they manage to hit you at exactly the wrong time.
Every time.
Every time. Yeah, so I just have a kind of a pat answer. I don't like to do impromptu things because there's always the, especially, I have a tendency to be in a bad mood sometimes.
You? Never.
And they read that and they poke you. You know, they know what buttons to push, especially after you've been around for a little while. I like to have a little bit more of a controlled, and if you could imagine a fair environment. I know it's hard to do with a lot of these outlets, but I'd encourage you in the future, things are on your schedule. You're the one that's busy. You control your own schedule. If you don't, it will control you and it will make you crazy. And I'm saying this beyond just the interviews.
That's good advice.
So you,
thank you.
You determine when you're going to be available. You let them know. If they want the story, they'll come get it.
No, we're all busy people. And I know with my schedule, if I don't have something on my calendar, I'm doing an interview with Lori Bratton at 1 o'clock on Thursday, it's just not going to happen. So was there any attempt by the Cowpie to get a date nailed down? Did they make any attempt to do that?
No, there was no attempt at all. I didn't know that if he was on a deadline, he never mentioned that. He just said that he was going to be doing an article.
Did he say when he was going to be doing an article?
He did not.
Okay. Now, in my world, words mean things, and they should mean things to everybody. But the word that was used in his piece was refused. Now, refused means I don't have my 1828 in front of me, but refused means you're not going to do it at all. That you absolutely say no. Is that what happened?
That is not what happened.
All right. Now let's talk about a couple of his other claims. He says that you moved to Sheridan County in 2019. And I know you mentioned it earlier on in our discussion. But when did you actually move here?
September of 2017.
Okay. And he also alludes to that the idea that maybe you haven't been involved in Wyoming politics for 10 years. I've heard you make that claim elsewhere, but have you been involved in Wyoming politics for 10 years?
Absolutely. Some of the local legislators, the conservatives in Colorado, had introduced us to the conservative legislators in Wyoming. And my daughter actually moved here. She's a Hillsdale grad. She was the youngest GOP chair for Carbon County when she moved here. So once she became the GOP chair in Carbon County, then we started having Principles of Liberty training classes. We actually had one in Sheridan.
And there's a couple of current and former Sheridan legislators that attended, isn't that correct?
That is correct, and some current senators, and some other folks. So we met a lot of great people up here, and of course fell in love with Wyoming ourselves. Knew our grandbabies were going to be born here, and that's one of the reasons that we moved here.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to sit down with you is there is so much bullcrap that is flying around concerning our state legislature. And a lot of that bullcrap originates with those elected officials. And the biggest problem, at least the way I see it, is they stand on your front doorstep and they say things like, abortion is bad, I love my guns, taxes are too high, I'm a conservative, you should vote for me. And then we do. But they go down to Cheyenne and they do exactly the opposite of what they tell us. So the reason why I wanted to visit with you on this is, tell me why that's for you. Tell me why that sort of behavior is not respectful of voters, and specifically you. I mean, you're the one running for office. So tell me how you're going to engage with people, why that's important, and what measures you're going to take to ensure that there's some transparency there.
Well,
I know that was a lot, but go
that
ahead.
That is a lot. I actually appreciate the rating agencies that are out there currently in Wyoming who do look at the bills and tell us how our legislators are voting. People have busy lives and businesses, and they're, goodness, they're having to work extra hard just to pay these outrageous property taxes that are now that have been happening since 2019 and going up exponentially. So if they can look at a couple different agencies and if you have four different groups that are all not working together but singing the same song, talking, showing how legislators voted on the issues that they care about, then that should ring true to a constituent. I certainly look forward to making my case as I go about the House District 51, telling them what I stand for, where I stand on the positions, what my principles are. And I think that that will definitely be reflected in the groups that do those evaluations.
All right. So last question for both of you. Ken, you were down in the middle of the swamp, and Lori, you were there for a
couple of weeks.
At least a couple of weeks. So let's start with Ken. How do you think this session went, just kind of generally speaking?
This was a budget session. We went in there expecting to pass a budget that would probably be the greatest amount ever spent by a Wyoming legislature in history, and we were not disappointed. They did that. It's $11.1 billion for the next couple of years. And really, it won't be, because next year they'll do a supplemental budget because they'll come up with a reason why they forgot something. Other than that, I expected there to be pretty much gridlock and not much happen. And I have to say that I was a little bit pleasantly surprised. We did get some tax relief, some property tax relief passed, not near what we had hoped for. We kept being told that the state simply can't afford this. And that's kind of funny coming from somebody with $28 billion in the bank. But that was a little bit of a disappointment, but not totally unexpected. And then we got through some other things. I guess it's good it was an election year, because we got through three good gun bills, including getting rid of gun-free zones. There were some other bills that are kind of a mixed bag. One of them have to do with ESAs, the education savings allowances. That's kind of a mixed bag there, and perhaps sometime we'll cover that in more detail. But from my perspective, for no more of a percentage, or 42% of the House, we held our own fairly well. And I'm pleased with that. I'm very proud of the folks that I worked with and that voted alongside, according to principles, according to the Republican platform, which seems to be a rare thing to do in Cheyenne. So I applaud somebody who does stand for the Republican platform coming up and speaking truth.
So maybe this is a little unfair, Lori, because I thought of one question while Ken was talking. So this was your first trip to the legislature, right? To sit there and watch what happens. Did you think it was this bad?
Well, actually, I have, since I worked at the Colorado legislature for 6 years, I've watched a lot of legislatures. I was a little surprised with some of the things that I saw. But since I'd been following legislation here in Wyoming and had decided to run, it wasn't that much of a surprise. It was more of a confirmation that I knew that we needed more conservatives down in Cheyenne. I just went to a follow-up with our local chamber, where both Senators Biteman and Kinski said that we need more conservatives in the House, in the legislature. And I would like to be one that joins that group down there, and I will vote for the conservative platform. But it was, it was definitely confirming.
It was an adventure, wasn't it?
That it was.
Well, thank you very much for sitting down with me. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about before I let you go?
The only thing I'd like to add is I am looking forward to serving the people of House District 51. I think they want somebody who's collaborative, not divisive, someone who rises above calling people's names, who's professional, who has a wealth of real life experience in the workplace, both as a business person and in the political arena. So I look forward to making my case to my friends and neighbors.
So if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Laurie for Wyoming is my website.
How do you spell Lori?
Oh, thank you so much for bringing that up. It is Laurie and then FOR Wyoming.com.
Okay. And do you have an email address if somebody wants to send you an email?
I do. If people would like to contact me, you can contact me at Laurie, Laurie, for FOR Wyoming at protonmail.com.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Thanks, Dave.
After our discussion, Lori Bratton wrote a letter to the editor of The Cowpie. In it, she calls out the several inaccuracies in the original article. It was her op-ed that editor's note was placed on. Let me just read it to you. Quote, "The word operative isn't clandestine or a conspiracy. It reflects that she was deeply involved with the Colorado group. As for that, Ms. Bratton and her husband were the founding members of Principles of Liberty, which evolved into the Liberty Scorecard Colorado, according to the group's website. And, according to a timeline on the Liberty Scorecard site, in 2019, quote, the Bratton family moves to Wyoming, end quote. As you can tell from this episode, the lack of research on behalf of the Cowpie led directly to this entire controversy. Had the Cowpie double-checked their sources, as I try to do on cowboy state politics, they would have found out that Lori Bratton and her husband actually moved to Sheridan County in 2017. And that Lori has been involved in Wyoming politics for 10 years, as she explained during our interview. If the Cowpie was not in the bag for the Wyoming caucus, all the news they're paid to print and all, we might expect something different. But there again, that's why I call them the Cowpie. One more note about the Cowpie. Since they're criticizing people who aren't from Wyoming, it's important to point out that the Cowboy State Daily is owned by a guy named B. Wayne Hughes, who is from Colorado. B. Wayne Hughes is one of the principal funders of the political action committee Wyoming Hope. Wyoming Hope donates almost exclusively to redcoat incumbents. Barry Crago himself took a sizable chunk of Hughes's money via the Wyoming Hope PAC. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of Weekend Update. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics Podcast.